Well, good morning. First, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you find yourself content in your relationship with God, or do you hunger for more? More. All right. This morning, we'll be looking at a text where Moses comes before God and says, "Let me know thy ways, that I may know thee." We'll study about a man who hungered for God. I come to you today honored to be able to teach God's word to you, and I'm especially excited to teach on a passage which God has worked in my life and has revealed to me and has changed the way that I approach him, changed my prayer times. When I first encountered this passage, it was during one of our 24-hour prayer watches that we have at the church, where we set aside some time in some different rooms around the church. And people come, and we pray for an hour and a half, whatever it is. So I was on my way to come pray. And by the way, I strongly encourage you to take part in these prayer watches. Obviously, the Lord ministered to me during this time. And I expect that if you come and you set aside this hour, that God will meet you with you as well. So on Friday, December 16th, 2005, a little over 2 years ago, I came to spend my hour with the Lord, and I wrote this in my journal the next day, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. Last night, we had another prayer watch at church. I had an hour just to be with the Lord and pray and listen. It was an awesome hour. I started first on my knees, praising my Holy Father for who he is, confessing my sin of gossip, of selfishness, and pride. I claimed his promise of forgiveness in 1 John 1:9. Earlier yesterday, or the day before, I was in my quiet time and was reading Exodus chapter 33, where God tells Moses to start on their way to the promised land. Moses is in the tabernacle. He's actually in the tent of meeting, but at meeting with God, and he asks God, who's God going to send with him? Moses asks God boldly, yet with humility, "If I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I might find favor in your sight." In this, Moses reveals a hard attitude and a truth about knowing God. Would you pray with me? Lord, now I pray the words of the psalmist. Open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your law. And I pray for all of us here today, these words of Moses. If we've found favor in your sight, let us know thy ways, that we might know thee, that we might find favor in your sight. Let us know your ways, Lord God, you who are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, so that we might know you and that we might find favor in your sight. Amen. So let's set out first the context of this passage. Just prior, Moses was on Mount Sinai with God, and he was receiving the Ten Commandments, which were written by the finger of God, on both sides, and the people are kind of getting anxious because Moses has been up there for a while, and so they decide that they need to create their own God, and so they do that with Aaron's help, and God says, "Oh man, I'm going to destroy those guys," so Moses entreats God to refrain from destroying them, he entreats God to keep his promise that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he wouldn't destroy the people, lest the Egyptians use that as a reflection of God's character. So Moses goes down and gathers the people together who are from God. He said, anybody who is for God, you know, come with me. So the Levites kind of came up, and he told them, go from end to end in the camp and kill all the people. So they killed about 3,000 people. Next, what happens, God tells Moses, he's like, okay, I've had it with you guys. You guys are an obstinate people. Go, and I'm not going with you, but go, or I might kill you on the way. Okay? And then next, we see Moses, and he's in the tent of meeting, and he goes day after day, and he meets with the Lord. Just after that comes our first passage. See if I can get it here. Good. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, thou dost say to me, bring up this people. But thou thyself hast not let me know who thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, and you also have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. So what is it about this prayer of Moses? What is it about this prayer of Moses that is so profound? What is it that spoke to my heart and brought me to change the way that I approach God? What is it God wants to teach all of us today through these words? Let's start with the first phrase of the passage. If I've found, this is in the second part here, if I've found favor in your sight. Moses uses this phrase five times in these few verses. He uses it in verse 12, twice in verse 13, verse 16 and 17. And two of those times he actually quotes the Lord saying it, like he does here. If I've known you by name and you have also found favor in my sight. What do you think of when you think of seeking man's favor? What I think of a relationship that's based on performance, bribes, appearances, showing off, and acting like we have it all together. When I'm trying to impress my boss or I'm trying to impress some other people, sometimes I resort to some of these things. The other thing is that when I first thought of this idea of finding favor in God's sight, it seemed like a selfish pursuit. Oh, like who am I to say that I can have God's favor? Actually, last night over dinner, we were talking about this. Shaku wanted a little preview on the sermon and a family sneak peek. And he said, well, it sounds kind of cocky that you would say I found God's favor. And I think that we kind of, you know, I can identify with that. And that's kind of the sense, you know, that you can feel. But as I looked into this deeper, I believe that it's something God wants for all of us that we would seek God's favor. In Psalm 5, it says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name might exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield. God favors those who take refuge in him, those who depend on him, those who love his name, and those who are righteous. In Daniel chapter 9, we see the other side. And Daniel says, we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving our attention to your truth. So not only are there positive things we can do, but we can turn away from sin and give attention to the Lord's truth. The next verse here, we studied this fall when we were going through Genesis. Michael brought it to us. Is in Genesis chapter 6. It's about Noah. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. So in this case, you get the sense of Noah finding favor, but it's an issue of grace. It's an issue of God initiating with Noah and his grace being upon him. It's through the riches of God's grace that we're able to walk with him, that we're able to find his favor. Jesus is actually the ultimate picture of God's grace. In Romans 5, 8, and 9, Paul writes, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For a long time, I've struggled to keep my relationship from God from settling into a performance-based relationship. I'm sure that many of you know that or have experienced these kind of relationships where you're at odds to please somebody else, or maybe it's a parent or a spouse, an employer, or maybe even your relationship with God has been in this way. You do good things, you feel good about your relationship with God. You do bad things, you feel bad. And The problem with this type of relationship is that we're all sinners and we all let other people down. So if we have these types of relationships, we get into this bad cycle because we're always losing. But I think that God has a different type of relationship in mind. God wants to show us his grace, and he wants us to find favor with him. It's not through performance, but through a right relationship. God wants us to accept his grace and mercy and be righteous and blameless, turning away from our sin and seeking his truth. Through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with God in which we find favor with him. I shared with you a few moments ago from my journal about this passage, and I want to encourage you with what the Lord spoke to me. So during this time, 2 years ago, my wife Nailani and I were at a period where we were in the process of filling out our adoption paperwork for our two boys from Haiti, and we were really in crunch time with that. We were talking and discussing about having our own family, our own biological kids. Many of you asked us during that time, well, what do you guys think about having kids? And we were struggling with the fact that we lived 25 minutes away, and I had just been called as an elder, and so, you know, that distance, was a little bit, was weighing heavy, certainly on our hearts. So at the end of this prayer time, I'll skip some stuff, but this is what I wrote. Then God responds to Moses, and I felt that God was speaking these words to me as well. Doug, I will do the thing of which you have spoken, for you, Doug, have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. So I tell you this today, and I share, obviously, this meaningful story in the way that God worked in my life, to encourage you that it is possible to find favor in God's sight. It starts with knowing Jesus, so he can cover us from our sin and to make our relationship right with Jesus, right with the Father. But also that he desires to give us grace and mercy, and he wants us to find favor in his sight. So let's go back to the next phrase in the passage. Let's see if I can do this. Let me know thy ways. What do you think it is here that Moses is asking for? What I think it is he's saying, Lord, let me know how you work, what pleases you, what things are important to you, Father. He's saying, give me knowledge of you, Lord. Let my eyes be open to your works. Let me see what you are doing, for I want to know you. I desire you. Do you think that Moses had seen the hand of God at work? I mean, burning bush, Pharaoh's army tossed into the sea, God giving special powers with sticks and hands. But this is all after that. And he's still saying, Lord, show me your ways. Like, I haven't seen all of them yet. Did Moses already find favor in God's sight? Yes. But he still wanted more. And I think that that's kind of the attitude that God wants us to have. For we're never done knowing him, right? And so he wants us to continue on in that. I want to show you a couple examples here from a different place just before this in the story. This is Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is immediately prior to what we just read. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, a good distance from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting, which was outside the camp. And it came about, whenever Moses went out to the tent, that all the people would arise and stand, each at the entrance of his tent, and gaze after Moses until he entered the tent. Whenever Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. When all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would arise and worship, each at the entrance of his tent. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. So what is it in this example that shows us that Moses is seeking to know God's ways? One, he's going out there regularly. I mean, everybody, all the other people had this kind of protocol for what they would do. Moses would get up, they'd all stand up, he'd walk out to the tent, then who knows what they did. But then when the cloud would come, then they would all worship. So they had this kind of like routine around what Moses was doing. And we also see the hearts of the people who wanted to seek the Lord, that they would also go out to the tent of meeting. Toward the end of Moses' life, we get another picture about Moses knowing God's ways. This comes from the near the end of Deuteronomy, when it's talking about Moses' death. This is a part called the Song of Moses. And he says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." These are the words of a man who knew the ways of the Lord. And Moses understood them. He understood that he is faithful, that he is just, that he's righteous, that he's upright. I think that many of us have been so lost and broken and hungry that we're satisfied with the crumbs of the knowledge of God's ways. We take a little bit, we come to God for salvation, but we stop there. Or we see God work in the Bible, and we're like, oh, well, that's nice, but he could never work in my life. And I think it has to do with kind of a satisfaction. Are we satisfied with how much we know about God? And I don't think that God wants to leave us there. I think he wants us to hunger for him. He wants us to engage, just like Moses, in an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. And even though Moses was engaged, he was meeting with God, as the man does face to face, he still wanted more. Let's go back to the next phrase here. "That I might know thee." So if we look at what Moses wants, he wants to know God. He wants to know him so well that he kind of asks the unthinkable in this case. Later on in the story, he gets to this point, and he says, "I pray thee, show me thy glory." He's saying, "God, just give me it all. You know, give it all to me." And, you know, you see a picture of God. God doesn't come back and say, "Oh, Moses, you know, can't you be satisfied with who I am?" But he does it. He shows Moses his glory. And you know what? I think this is the type of prayer that God honors, a prayer that says, "Father, I love you. I know you, but I want to know you more. Reveal yourself to me." God says on in verse 19 and 20, he says, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." So this is God telling Moses that he's going to meet with him. He's going to tell him his name. And then this is what happens when the Lord comes and gets to it. Here we go. So this is the passage, part of the passage here after when the Lord is revealing himself to Moses. "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations.'" Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth in worship. He said, "If I've found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as thine own possession." So the Lord proclaims himself. He proclaims his name. He proclaims all these things about who he is. He proclaims his ways so that Moses can know him. And God responds to Moses' authentic questions. He's asking, you know, "Are you going to go along with us? Are you going to do these things? Next thing here is that he asks about them in regards to other people. How do other people look at us? For how then can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the earth? What is it Moses is getting at? He's getting at knowing God. God, are you really the king of these people? How is anyone going to tell us from anyone else on the earth if you don't go with us? He says, God, if you're not going, I don't want to go. That's what he says. If you're not going to go, I'm not going to go either. I don't want to go without you. And the thing is that God's not mad about these questions. He didn't say, oh, Moses, what are you doing? Quit asking all these silly questions. You know, God honors it. He shows him his glory. He reveals himself. He goes along with the people, and he leads them. You know, Moses is expressing the heart of God, a heart after his own people, a heart that wants to bless, to be gracious, to forgive, one that is slow to anger. This is how God responds to Moses. Moses asks him this question, how are we going to be different? What are you going to do? Are you going to go with us? The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. These questions that Moses asks seem dangerous, kind of irreverent, but they come through from a man who has a close relationship with the Lord. And the Lord blesses Moses by speaking his words to him, communicating his heart, communicating his ways, so that Moses might know him and find favor in his sight. In doing this, Moses has revealed this kind of, I don't want to say a secret, because we don't have secrets, but he reveals this truth about knowing God and having a relationship with him. It's an ever-deepening relationship. There's no start or end. I find favor. I know thy ways. I know thee. I find favor again, and I start it all over. Okay? So he's got this kind of circular thing going on, and it's ever-deepening. It's based on God's grace that we might find his favor, that we might know his ways, in order that we might know him and find his favor again. So you might say, well, what does this all mean for us? Okay, so we see Moses, he's out, he's doing these things, but what does that have to do with me? Or why do we even care? First of all, I think the Father wants us to desire him and to desire an intimate relationship with him and to seek him with all our hearts. First of all, if you've not come to know Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, I want to encourage you to seek him. Ask him to reveal himself to you and to give you faith. To illustrate this example of this process, let me use an example from my work. Some of you know I'm a production manager at a high-tech company, and we manufacture these high-tech devices. And as a company and a team and as individuals, we're involved in this thing called continuous improvement. So the idea is that, you know, you can always do something better, so let's get in this process. We'll get everybody along, get everybody on board and making these changes. So even this past Thursday, I went to a little seminar called a manufacturing roundtable discussion, and on lean manufacturing. Lean manufacturing is all about reducing waste, and it's supposed to be simple. I think the guys who have made it simple are now trying to make it complicated so that nobody can understand it. But the idea is that we can use these tools that have been developed by companies like Toyota and those kind of things in order to help us become better and continuously improve. And it goes across all types of organizations, manufacturing, healthcare, engineering, and all those kind of things. And what they try to do is develop a culture at work by which we can continually improve. We want to encourage participation, encourage people to be thinking about, okay, what can be better? And the argument that this guy was making on Thursday is that, well, it's great if you want to kind of go out and have like three big changes over the course of the year, but You're not going to have everybody involved. It's going to take a long time to implement, and you're going to lose everybody along the way because they're going to be like, oh, we've been at this for months. It's just another fad. You know, we'll just wait it out and see what happens. But he made the argument, you ought to be counting the number of changes or the improvements that you make in the thousands. You know, so it's not, okay, let me wait for this big thing to come. We'll see if it works, and then maybe I'll be on board. But that, you know, you're involved in it, and he's involved, and she's involved, and we're all involved. So we got this kind of picture. I don't want to draw this conclusion too much, so I'm not going too far with this. But the idea is that if we can continually improve, we can we actually make more progress than if we were to try to do a couple big things. Here's a lesson I want to take away from that. Often we don't have our eyes open to the incremental improvements that God's making in our lives. We hear the word on a Sunday morning, we walk away, and we say, oh, well, that was okay. Went to a prayer meeting, and maybe I didn't feel so good about it, or, you know, wasn't touched, or whatever it might be. We're waiting around like, okay, this year, the men's retreat is when it's going to happen, you know? We wait for these kind of big things, and we're like, okay, we have this anticipation that God's going to do this thing two or three times a year. Big things, that's enough. That's enough for me. And he does those things. I mean, he still appeared to Moses in the burning bush. That was a big thing. Moses literally had many mountaintop experiences. So God does work in those ways, but I think he wants us to not to miss this truth that Moses gave us about seeking his favor, seeking his ways, knowing him, that we might find favor. I think that what God wants is continuous improvement in our relationship with him. What are the things that Moses did to foster this? He went out to the tent of meeting day after day so that everybody had a protocol what they needed to do when Moses did it. He demonstrated that for others. He went to seek God. He went to listen to his voice. Moses gives us this pattern for continuous improvement. So how might we do this? As leaders of this church, the elders and the other leaders, we pray for you. We pray that you might experience God's grace. And we're committed to giving you both the tools and opportunities to know the Father more deeply. So there's a lot of various things that you can do to do that. There's prayer times, Sunday school, small group Bible studies, developing your own devotional time with God. It's not our intent to burden you with a bunch of things and like count people, okay, 25 people showed up at the prayer meeting, it was successful. But we want to give you opportunities so that you can continuously improve your relationship with God, that you could enter into this cycle that Moses has shown us, that we might find favor in God's sight, that we might know him, know his ways, we might know him. During this 40 days of fulfilling hope, as you have met with God, as you've met with the Father, as you've gone to the tent of meeting, as you've been praying to him and seeking him, I hope you've realized the favor of the Father and that you found favor in his sight. But let me encourage you, the next 18 days, I think it is, from now to the end of our 40 days, especially, go like Moses did. Go bold. Go big or go home. Have the attitude of Moses. Lord, show me your ways. I might know thee. Ask him to give you a hunger for him. Ask him to take you deeper. Let him know that you want him more. Tell him you desire his grace and you want to find favor in his sight. You know, God isn't satisfied with a shallow faith, but he honors the guys like Moses who decide, hey, God, I got to know you. I can't handle not knowing you. You got to show me. He wants us to be reconciled to him through Jesus' death on the cross, and that we would submit to him, be forgiven our sins, and seek him with our whole heart. You know, Moses was a man of God who sought the Lord's favor, and he did it with vigor and boldness and commitment and frequency. I pray that we might follow the pattern of Moses. Would you pray with me?